realms of Senith.
What did I just walk into?
I think I was working on the mic volume. But yeah, I was also just giving more to recap. So we left off at that circus. You guys had just finished the Raby Arc trial.
Right.
With Raby. Yeah. And what'd she say? She said something to the effect of, this is your, she's going to grant this as a participant trophy or something like that. A crown.
Something like that.
Yeah. So yeah, there was snails and cyclopses and stuff like that. And bacon.
And lots of awkward staring.
Oh, and the snail race.
But yeah, so Ribyar kind of just pops, just kind of disappears back into the tent. And you guys are left standing outside this strange area. And that's where we are right now.
And where were we supposed to go to, like, use this token, right?
It was said that this would give you entrance to the courthouse, the royal court.
Shouldn't we go there?
Well, at the moment, essentially, it's just Erevan and yourself, Moritz, driving, I'm assuming.
I suppose we start heading to the court, then.
I'm going to need a survival check from somebody as you try to trace or try to stay on the path that you believe will lead to this building.
Probably not going to be me because my modifier for that is 0.
Survival is 5, but I rolled a 4, so 9?
Erevan, roll me a d10.
5.
Kitz is almost home.
I am home.
Are home. Okay.
The gang is all here.
Yep, and everybody gets to roll initiative.
Oh, great. 15.
20 for Erevan.
I rolled a 16.
I only got 13.
All right. You guys have left from the fairgrounds on the path towards the courthouse, since you now have that royal seal to gain entrance to it. As you're advancing towards the courthouse, the terrain in the courtyard started to change and seemed to grow longer, and more terrain was added, as though you're now passing through grasslands and different forests. And it looks like there's even mountains now between yourselves and the courthouse, which is still in plain view, depending on a train. So Diamond attempted to lead you guys through the quickest way to stay on the path, but she's gotten a little lost, and you guys find yourselves in front of some slender humanoid-shaped plants that are dancing in a small clearing. They have 2 long legs, 4 arms. They have different, like a plethora of vibrant petals and serrated leaves and thorns all along its body, or their bodies. And there's a wide flower blossom at the top of it, as though it was its head. These things are medium creatures, so they're quite big. And they seem to notice you guys. And you see several thorns on their 4 arms start to extend, and they start running towards you guys. Erevan, it's your turn first, as these things are charging at you. They are at a distance still. They're not within melee range.
How far away are they, and how many of them are there?
There's 2 of them, and they are presently about 80 feet away.
Would I have any way of knowing or being able to guess their speed?
Well, you have watched them advance on you. They are, like, dancing into your direction, cartwheeling. They're kind of crazy little things. They're very fast. Their speed would be about 40. They're about as fast as Alita.
All right, cool. I'm just gonna pick one of them, and we're gonna just Eldritch Blast. And that's 20 on the die. 15 damage.
All right, Mord, it's your turn. But yeah, Mord, you see the ray go from Erevan, hits one of these plant creatures. It's a pretty solid hit. You've seen this take down commoners. Well, I mean, not that Erevan goes around killing commoners, but...
That's what I was thinking, like, oh my god, unless I do. What kind of monster are we traveling with?
Yeah, but it's not a hit that most would shrug off, but this thing seems to.
Is there a way for me to position myself to put both of them in a line?
At this distance, no, but you could hold your action, like move off to the flank or something.
I'm going to hold my action to cast Tasha's Caustic Brew when they get, in a line.
All right.
And then as a bonus action, I will shoot my ballista at them. Did I cut you off?
No, go ahead. It's your turn.
Okay. So what you're saying is I can cut you off if it's my turn?
Yeah. Yeah, actually.
Okay. Noted. Oh, it was a 12 and then it rolled a 2. So I rolled a 10 to hit.
No, you just miss it. These things are in motion. and they're very thin, so you have to be a bit more precise than usual.
Sure.
And yeah, you just about had it.
I yell at the cannon, "Get it together, man!" That's my turn.
All right. Now they line up for your spell.
Oh, okay.
As they run right up into your trap.
Gotcha. Tasha's Caustic Brew is a stream of acid emanates from me in a line 30 feet long, 5 feet wide, in a direction I choose. Each creature in the line must succeed on a dexterity saving throw or be covered in acid for the spell's duration. So dexterity saving throw of 15.
Now, what is this? What type of damage was this?
Acid.
Acidic, okay. All right, one of them takes the full hit.
Okay, so it's or be covered. So one is covered, one isn't. So at the start of each of its turns, it's going to take 2d4 unless it spends its action to scrape or wash the acid off. I imagine that means it takes it now too, right?
At the start of its turns? No, because it ran into a trap. Okay. So its turn's already started.
Okay. So unless it spends an action to wipe it off, it's going to take damage. 2d4 acid next turn.
Okay. Which one is covered though? The one that failed or the one that did not?
The one that failed.
Okay.
The other one that didn't hit, they dodged it.
All right, the one that Erevan hit is covered, and it stops running towards you to start washing the stuff off from it, this acid. Just starts rolling on the ground and stuff. However, the other one gets up close to you, Erevan, and that's its turn. So it's Diamond's turn.
There's one close to Erevan?
Yeah, its forearms with very long thorns on it are being brought to bear upon Erevan, because I'm assuming he's in the front. With his Eldritch Blast, and Mord's just off to the side a bit.
How far away is it from me?
I'm assuming that you guys are walking in some sort of formation through this path. Erevan would have stepped forward, I'm assuming, to do his Eldritch Blast, so it's probably 10, 15 feet away from you at the moment. If you have a different idea of where you'd want to be or where you would have been placed, you can tell me.
No, I think I would have, like, if I was directing them through the forest, I would, like, be in front. So I think that's a good place. I'm going to cast Summon Beast. What beast am I going to summon, though? I'm going to summon a panther.
Where are you going to place it?
Right in front of Erevan so it can attack.
Panther squeezes in between you and the plant, Erevan.
I guess, like, I can use a bonus action for the panther to attack, right?
I believe that's how it works, yeah. I'm looking at the spell right now. Oh, it's its own creature. It would go after your turn and do what you tell it to do. So.
Okay, well, I guess I'm going to tell it to attack the creature coming at Erevan.
Okay.
The panther's damage is 3d8, so that's 16 damage.
What was its hit? I mean, it probably will hit, but we'll see.
9?
Okay, I lied. That's not a hit at all.
Liar. Why would you do this to us?
I don't know.
All right. Well, so I'm going to mark down that there's a panther on the board now. Is that your turn then?
Yeah.
All right. Olita.
Okay, so I add 4 to this. Well, so I got 10.
All right. That's a miss on the first swing.
Okay, so I got 12.
No, that's a miss.
21.
Boom.
All right.
So 4 altogether.
All right. We're back to, well, do you want to move anywhere specifically, or are you going to stay here and try to help Erevan with this specific one?
Are we all next to Erevan at this point?
Everyone except for Morad, who's hiding just off the path a little bit by a tree.
Well, I'm wondering if I should move over to the other one if nobody else is over there with it.
The other one is still down the path a bit, throwing acid everywhere, rolling around on the ground.
Okay, I guess I'm just going to stay where I am.
From your attacks on this thing, the impression you get is that this fights very well. It's dancing and avoiding a lot of your attacks that way. But now that you're closer, Erevan, too, you can see that this thing is taking actual direct hits and not going down very easily. And it is your turn, Erevan.
This thing is right next to me, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to swing at it with my greatsword.
All right, as you go to swing at this thing, it blows up into a shower of flower petals. And as you're trying to swing at this, it's really hard for you to see it anymore. It was thin to begin with, and then now you have all this crap in your face. So you have disadvantage on your attack.
17.
That's with disadvantage? Okay, yeah, that's a hit.
Yeah, my attack bonus is +6, so
yeah.
I got 11 on the die.
Yeah, that's a hit.
13 damage.
13, okay. Anything else on your turn?
Probably not.
All right, Mord, it is your turn.
So these things aren't 20 feet from each other, right?
Not anymore.
So I'm going to save that thought for later. I'm going to throw a firebolt at the one that's everybody's fighting and then try to ballista him, I guess. So how about a 19?
19 is a hit.
Does it have disadvantage?
No. It specifically shot all its flowers right into Erevan's face.
Well, that's rude.
Yeah.
I did 1 point of damage with my firebolt.
Flowers means it likes me, though. So I think it likes me.
Well, it's,
oh, okay. Well, I mean,
but if you guys are going about this all wrong,
it's like, hey, half elf boy.
All right. Well, your 1 point of damage actually does too, as you see the plant start to catch fire.
Oh,
just like it sparks up a bit. I mean, it's just 1 point of damage, but yeah, it has fire vulnerability. You can tell immediately.
Oh, well, I wish my cannon was a flamethrower now, but it's not. Anyway, I'm going to shoot it with the cannon, and I do because it's 26 to hit.
Is that a crit?
No.
Or it had been close, but yeah, that's a hit.
It's close, yeah. And it does a ton of damage. How about 14?
Well, we like it. The plant don't.
Take that plant, and that's my turn, if it's still alive.
Yes, it is still alive. And it's the monster's turn, so... All right, the first one is still right up by the panther and Erevan and Alita. The one that's up close to you guys starts swaying in a strange, almost hypnotic way. It's going to need to have you guys make a DC 12 wisdom saving throw. So that would be... I think this actually includes Diamond as well. Diamond, Alita, Erevan needs to roll a wisdom saving throw.
15.
15?
16.
16's good.
12.
That is what you needed. The panther doesn't say anything about intelligence. I'm just going to skip the panther for now.
That's what saving throw? Wisdom?
It's a wisdom saving throw, yeah.
It's got a +2 to wisdom.
Yeah.
Roll for me another wisdom saving throw, Diamond.
Not that one. That one's the bad dice.
Bad dice.
That's the perfect gif of Guardians of the Galaxy. Thank you, Mark.
12.
You got 12?
Yeah.
All right. So none of you get charmed by its hypnotic dancing. That's good. And the second one runs up and has a different dance for you.
Mm-mm.
This one, it starts... spinning around in a circle real quick, throwing thorns in all directions around it. So now I need all of you to make a dexterity saving throw. Again, minus Morid.
18.
All right, you're good.
21.
21 is good. Actually, Diamond, I just need you to roll once for your panther.
Okay, I rolled a 10 and a 14, so I'll give the panther the 14 and I'll take the 10 since mine is higher.
How deadly do these thorns look?
About 4d6 deadly.
Damn.
Never mind.
All of you minus Diamond take 6 damage. As you dodge these thorns, you still get hit by enough of them to annoy you.
It's more than annoy. That hurts.
Yeah.
So everyone except Diamond takes 6 damage, you say?
Yeah, everyone except Diamond and Morid, yeah.
I use my reaction to cast Hellish Rebuke. It now needs to make a dexterity saving throw itself.
Okay. 15 for its saving throw.
I do think that succeeds, but it's still going to take some damage. And I think Fire Vulnerability effectively cancels out the saving throw.
Yep. So just roll your damage and that's what it takes.
It's going to take 19 fire damage.
Damn!
Yeah, it's 3d10, so...
That's awesome.
Okay, how did it attack us? Like,
so there's two of them. One of them tried to do the alluring dance right up next to you in your face. The second one finished removing the acid from Morit's spell off from it, waltzed up to you guys, and started its own dance of... It's called a serrated dance, where it whirls in a flurry of leaves and thorns that it shoots from itself.
Okay. Dancing. So I think I could call those missiles then, right? Thorn missiles.
Okay. I see where you're trying to go. I guess so. I guess technically, yes.
Okay. So if I use my reaction to deflect those, so let's see, 1d10 dexterity. Okay. So I'm at 11 and the damage was 6.
Does that negate the damage?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it should totally negate it. And it means that I can catch it. It says you make this attack with proficiency regardless of your weapon proficiency, and the missile counts as a monk weapon for the attack. This is awful. I just rolled a 2.
Ouch.
Tanks. Okay, so 6 damage. I guess that was all it did to me, so.
Well, it didn't do any damage because you stopped the damage.
Yeah.
But you you caught it really cool, but when you threw it, it wasn't so cool.
It hit a flower petal on its way to it.
You could just say that, like, you caught it and then you threw it away, even though you were trying to throw it back at this thing, but you could just say you were trying to throw it away. You
know? I meant to do that. Pretty much.
It's just because its thorn was so flimsy.
Terrible weapon.
That's Diamond's turn then.
All right, so the panther took 6 damage, right?
Yeah.
So can I heal the panther?
If you want to, but I would advise not to, as strange as that sounds. Because the panther, I don't think, from reading the spell, it's not like a panther. It's like a spirit that's taken the form of a panther and is fighting along with you. So if it dies, it doesn't die.
Okay. Then I will back up quite a bit and use a magic stone on it, I guess.
That good, huh?
No, it's awful. I got a 3. What the hell is wrong with my dice?
Did you not like say nice things to him before you put him away last time?
I guess not.
You know, you're a good die. You're gonna roll good for me.
You're a good dice. You're gonna roll good. Be a good boy, dice. Be a good boy.
This is what I want you to look like every day. It looks very nice. Have like 20 side up.
Yep. I always do that. I always put all the, like I try to, it's a stupid, superstitious thing. I put all the 20s on the top, the 6s on the top, the 10s on the top. It doesn't help, but I like to think it does.
Gravity will slowly pull the atoms in a dice down so that it's weighted in one direction.
Yeah,
it's legit. All right. So that was your turn, Diamond. Then your panther goes.
Oh, I guess I got to tell it to attack before I end my turn.
Yeah.
I tell it to attack and that ends my turn.
Okay.
All right. So now the panther's going to attack, right? I got to roll for that.
Yep.
17.
Yeah, that's a hit.
8, 2, and 6. So that's 8 and 8, 16.
All right. Anything more for the panther?
I think it's going to stay where it is.
All right. Alita, it's your turn again.
Which one is more menacing at the moment, or is there one that's closer to being taken out?
The one that you guys have been focusing on is definitely looking very hurt at this point. Like, there's pieces of wood falling from it, and little openings in its plant body, and it's slowing down in its movements and stuff. So that one looks to be at the most vulnerable to you. Okay. The other one just got there and blew up from Erevan, but it's still not as bad off as that one.
The unarmed strike.
All right.
14.
Okay, you do hit it.
5.
You could use a bonus attack, or if you still have ki, you could do another flurry if you wanted to.
Okay, so I've used 2 ki, right? Mm-hmm. I've still got 1. And I don't have to, like, immediately go to sleep or anything, right? I'm just out.
Right.
Okay. Okay, so I noticed if I use that flurry of blows, I can also... Well, okay, let's see if it works first, right? And did I use the same, like, damage thing for the flurry of blows?
Yep.
Okay, so 17, 6.
Are these... 6, that's 6 damage?
Yeah.
For that 17? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And then if you got another one to do?
Well, okay. So it says if I hit with the flurry of blows, I can impose one of the following effects on the target. So it's either it must succeed on a dexterity saving throw or be knocked prone, which is probably the one I'd want. The other one is it must make a strength saving throw. If it fails, you can push it up to 15 feet away. But I think I would go with dexterity.
What is the dexterity saving throw against? Whenever you hit a creature, flurry of blows. Yeah, it's failed its saving throw, so it gets knocked prone.
Does that count as like being taken out, basically, or not?
So since it's prone, you have an advantage on your second hit to it.
Okay.
So you can do another attack, roll your dice or your d20 twice, and take the better result.
Okay, so let's see, that's plus... Okay, so 21, and then do I get an advantage on the damage?
No, just the attack.
Oh, okay. 4.
4. I don't know exactly how you want to do it, but essentially you've just tripped this thing, and then you do something to it that makes it not move anymore. This thing is down. Is that your turn? The other one's right next to you. Still within your melee range, so you don't have to move to go find that one. It's here.
I don't think there's anything else I can do, is there? I think I'm out.
You could fly up 15 feet and fly back down 15 feet if you wanted.
I mean, do I land on it when I come down?
How do you do that? Land on it. Just give it a good stomp. Make sure it's completely down.
All right, bad weed.
So, I mean, minus the ridiculousness, I'm guessing that's your turn then.
Okay.
All right, Erevan, it's your turn.
So we got one thing that's still up and one thing that's down.
Yep.
The one that's down, is that the one that we are focusing on a lot, or is that the one that hit with the Hellish Rebuke? Okay.
No, the one that's Hellish Rebuked is still up.
And how far away is he from me?
He's just a few steps from you, so he's within your range.
All right, so... assuming he's not within like melee range, I'll walk up to him or whatever. But gonna swing at him with my greatsword.
Okay. And again, you need to take a disadvantage on your attack roll as flower petals shoot into your face from this one.
19. Disadvantage does nothing to me.
All right. What's the damage?
12.
Okay. Anything else from you?
How's he looking after that?
He's pretty hardy. I mean. He's not really dodging your blows like normally when you're doing hit point damage. It's just like, it's not like, just repeatedly stabbing someone over and over. This thing, you're repeatedly stabbing it as it's dancing.
Like you'd think with a massive sword, I'm more slashing at it than stabbing.
I mean, it's debatable.
Yeah. This is like getting rid of weeds in real life. They just never go down.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you're spinning your sword around in a slashing manner like it's a scythe or something at this point. I mean, you're just giving in to the Feywild. You're like, whatever, this is what we do. I gotta get these weeds out of here.
Yeah.
So, right, if that's your turn, it's Mord's turn.
Yep.
I'm gonna shoot a firebolt at it for 27.
That's a hit.
And I roll 6 points of damage, fire damage.
All right, that gets doubled then.
So 12. Oh, take that. And I'll shoot the Blista at it too, because I got stuff to do. That's a 17.
That's a hit.
15 more points of damage. Just shooting stuff. And then I do the Van Damme dance.
Hell yeah. So that's your turn?
Yep.
You start dancing with these things? Okay.
I start dancing like Van Damme in the GIF I just posted.
It's a strange sight, a gnome doing that off in the tree line next to you. Yeah, with the cannon.
It's a party out there. My cannon's doing it too.
All right, so it's so excited to be dancing that it starts dancing again too.
Oh no.
But this one, it seems to keep its focus on Erevan, and it starts swinging its arms in his direction repeatedly. So 6, 5, 5, those are going to be misses, but it does crit on one of its swings. You take 11 damage from one of its hits, and that's the end of its turn.
Damn.
Diamond.
If that would have hit, for real, that would have hurt.
Who just took 11?
Erevan takes that damage.
All right. I guess I'm just going to throw another magic stone. I got a 7.
A 7 plus 5, by chance? Was it already added into that 7?
No.
It should be your wisdom plus your proficiency.
Wisdom plus proficiency, so 7 and 7, 14.
Okay, that is a hit.
4 plus 3, 7.
Yeah, so this plant... It has a rock hit it right in the head, which is a flower petal. Flower petal falls off from it, and the whole thing just goes limp. And that's both of these things down.
Okay, well, that settles it.
Nice, Jeff. That's exactly what happens. Like, Diamond's rock just, she like threw it way up in an arc, and it lands right on this thing's head.
That's some quality acting right there. I don't know what movie that's from, but I got to find out, because that's a good movie to watch.
Ooh. Yeah, I'm going to... Need another survival check from the group if you guys are moving on or if you want to hang out with these things for some reason.
How much health does Erevan have at this point? Are you looking bad?
Like 13.
Okay, I think I could only add like 3. Does anybody have something better?
Everyone may still have potions that you guys brought from the palace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do have those. But okay. I also have healing words, and it's a d4 plus my spellcasting modifier, which would be wisdom, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I only have one spell slot left, so take a potion.
I don't know how many I have left, so...
Well, you've cast Magic Stone as a cantrip. You cast Summon Beasts. What level is that one?
That's a level 2.
Level 2. Oh. So how many level 2 slots do you have?
Oh, no.
I think 2.
Yeah, you're 3rd level druid, right?
Yeah.
At third level, yeah, you got two slots. So if you haven't cast any other second level spells, you have one left.
My healing words is at first level.
Yeah, you should have four total of those if you haven't cast any spells.
No, I haven't, because the magic stones is a cantrip.
Mm-hmm.
So I have those open, so I can use healing words.
I think you did cast Ice Knife or something like that, something called Ice Knife. There was some dagger thing that happened. I don't remember if that was a cantrip or not, though.
That's a first level.
But that was like a session ago or something.
No.
But I don't think you've rested since then, so that spell slot would still be used.
Okay.
So Erevan's taking a potion, and I will need a survival check.
From who?
From whoever you guys want to lead you. Diamond brought you to these wonderful things.
Mm-hmm. I got a nat 20, so just go with that.
But nat 20 minus what?
Nothing. There's no modifier or whatever. I got 20 on the die, is 20 total.
Okay. Thought you said you had a negative.
No, I just don't have anything at all for my modifier.
Oh, okay.
All right, so for this, I'm going to need a d4 roll from somebody.
Three more plants dance at you.
Yeah. No, you guys continue on, and you guys are passing, again, past shadowed figures in the distance. Terrain that's changing as you go. Some creatures, you see animals standing in the woodlands, totally frozen. You see birds nearby singing and flying around normally. You guys pass by a house that's just built in the middle of this courtyard, it would seem. Has a, what is it called? Like a smokestack coming from it. Like it has an internal furnace to... wood-burning furnace inside to warm it up and stuff. It looks like a winter home in the middle of this area here.
Is it made of gingerbread?
It is not made of gingerbread.
Because I read a story about that.
Is it made of candy at all?
No, it's not. It has no candy on it. It looks like it's just made out of wood.
Is it made of ginger?
No. It's still not. I haven't changed my mind. It's still not made of ginger.
Is there two kids in lederhosen running around outside?
There is a well outside of this house, though.
Oh.
And it looks a lot like the one that you guys found Baindir through.
Well, I want to go back. I never wanted to leave, and I'll never miss a session again.
We're almost done with your punishment.
Because, you know, we were going to fight cool-ass mummies and take over Mordville, and we ended up in Candyland. And I'm a little, you know, I'm not bitter at all.
We ended up in Candyland fighting weeds.
Candyland yeah, like, is cool. You know,
I'm not bitter at all about it.
We're literally out here doing battle with marijuana.
The war on drugs is happening here.
So hey, this looks like this house. Like, does this house look dangerous?
No, it's unarmed.
Okay. Well, I think if it's unarmed, we stand a chance here.
So as Mord's ranting outside of the well that has reminded him of Mordville, you guys can hear water sounds coming from it, and it sounds like something is climbing the well.
Oh no.
Creepy.
Did any of you watch a videotape?
You guys remember what happened last time? There was something climbing the well?
I don't know. I might die in 7 days.
Yeah. 7 days.
That's what a fly says into Mord's ear.
She ate that fly. I get it out of there because it shouldn't still be there. It's terrible hygiene.
You guys see a hand emerge from the well, grasping the edge of it. It's a...
I jump behind Erevan.
All right. It is not a normal hand, of course. Not that you guys would expect it to be, but it looks like one made out of water. And a woman pulls herself out from the well. Her whole body seems to be made of water. She has something of an otherworldly beauty to her, scantily clad with leaves and vines.
Well, hello.
She wears jewelry made from flowers and petals. And a curious smile crosses her face as she rests comfortably upon the edge of the well. She doesn't seem to breathe and remains motionless other than her legs, which fade into a small pool of water that slowly forms beneath her. And she just seems to take you guys in.
Water nymph?
Sparkle. I'm sorry. Wrong thing. Sprinkle. Sprinkle, actually.
Gives a new meaning to thirsty.
Hey, I'm thirsty.
she says... It looks like you have traveled very far. Would you like to rest Here, it's my home.
I'd like to do more than rest here, baby.
Whoa.
Does Tarman say that for real?
Oh, hello.
Does she actually say that?
Yeah. Fuck it. Why not?
Okay.
Diamond's on vacation. What happens in the Feywild stays in the Feywild.
Right.
Yeah, so Sparkle, I'm going to keep calling her that now, but Sprinkle just, she appears slightly taken aback for a moment, but then she smiles again and puts her hand to her chest and tilts her head. She says, flattered.
Mord puts his hand to his chest and said, Mord.
Right, and then she motions towards the house with her arm, and she says, you are welcome to stay.
I don't know. Is there a way that we can get like an insight? Is she going to like eat us or become us or
put us in an oven?
Drown us?
She, so far, is probably the first water creature you've met, Mord's met, right?
Yeah, so no frame of reference there?
No real frame of reference for insight, but you might have heard of these creatures before, so roll an arcane check.
All right. That is a 22. I happen to be proficient in that.
She seems to resemble descriptions that you've heard of a Crinera, which is basically a water nymph, as Belita had said, I think it was.
Are they known to be evil?
They are not known to be evil, but they are neutral. And they're friendly, but they're very... They can have a very quick turn of temperament.
They're bipolar.
Okay.
Yeah, essentially, I suppose. But it comes from general insults and something that makes them angry, not so much just a swing of a mood or something. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Shall we rest here, folks?
Probably.
Yeah.
And it looks like my character is able to find food and fresh water for us.
So how would you do that exactly? Is that something you would do right now? Just head off into the...
Well, it says you can find food and fresh water for yourself and up to 5 other people each day, provided the land offers very small game, water, and so forth. Or are we just expecting her to feed us a meal when we get in there?
I mean, I have these MREs.
Are you guys like going through your food real quick before you head in? Like, would she be able to see you guys discussing and conversing about what to do for food?
Yeah, pull out some rations, which I imagine are like MREs.
Okay, sure. And I'm discussing if I should go forage, I guess.
Sprinkle would say, there's plenty of fresh water here.
Dun, dun, dun.
Where can we get some fresh water?
And then she again puts her hand to her chest and she says, I can get you some.
Okay, so then we just need food?
Yeah.
I think Erevan's got pocket bacon left.
Someone has pocket bacon. I thought it was...
I don't know about bacon, but I got tons of wine.
Yeah, I have a bottle of wine. I fed my cotton candy to the snail and, I don't know, the one-eyed guy took my bacon.
Oh, this is the Cyclops. So Sprinkle starts heading towards the house and opens the door and she steps in. The more perceptive among you can hear that she's setting a table.
Well, let's see how the nymphs live.
As you guys peek into the building itself, it's a modest... It doesn't come to mind that she probably lives here. This is likely like a guest home or someone else's home that she has taken.
So she's a nymph that runs an Airbnb?
It seems so.
Okay.
And she, in fact, does start speaking to that. She says that whenever she sees weary travelers, she likes to make her home available to them. You guys see that she has several glasses of water for you sitting out on the table. Plates and stuff for your food. She offers the oven in case you need to heat anything. And she goes and starts setting up several beds. This is all just like a one-room cabin. And assuming you guys are spending the night here, you can mark yourselves off as having had a long rest. So any hit points that are missing, any dice that you've used, spell slots, key points, any other resources are reset back.
I pull out my bagpipes and play a song.
I'm going to go help her make the beds.
Roll a performance check, Morin.
That's not going to be good.
You're proficient with it, least, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's awesome. I crit the bed to 21.
Nice. Sprinkle is thoroughly impressed, and Diamond, she encourages you to come listen with her As you were speaking with her and helping her set up the bed, she goes and pulls you along to go listen to the bagpipes. And she wants to dance now.
Oh, I want to dance with her. Absolutely.
All right. So, yeah. Late night cabin dance party happens. Anyone more at Erevan? People who are not immediately dancing, you see little creatures, little fairies and stuff come up to the windows, and you see some of them dancing as well. Yeah, I don't know how long Mord plans to play, but it's a good night.
I only know 1.5 songs. I'm just playing them over and over again.
Well, you change a note here and there, I'd imagine.
I'm trying to improvise. I don't know. Maybe because my 20, it actually sounds good.
Yeah. Well, it's the best you've ever played, and it sounds amazing here. It's like you're getting in touch with your fey roots or something.
Good acoustics in the house.
Good acoustics, yep.
Sounds good.
Anything else we're doing here, or moving on to the next day?
I'm good to move on.
Yeah.
Yeah, after a long night of dancing, we're going to go to bed and then wake up the next day, apparently.
So the next day, she, again, sets the table for you guys so you guys can have your breakfast and anything else you guys want to do before you set off on the path again. And she'll see you out of the house and takes a bow. And she says, anytime that you are in the area, you are always welcome to stay here and bring your bagpipes. I implore you.
Thank you, Sprinkles.
Yeah, thanks, Sprinkles. It's been lovely getting to know you.
What were you asking, Maureen?
I just wondered if we knew where we were going. Like, we've hit Mad World. Things just keep weird happening. Are we heading anywhere, like, special, or?
Should we ask Sprinkles what she knows about this castle we're headed towards?
Do we eat some bad mushrooms? I asked Sprinkle. Like, this is like, I'm trying to walk there, and there's a waterfall there that wasn't there. And now here's your cabin, which, comfortable beds. Thank you. What's up with that?
Her smile grows pretty wide, and she laughs a bit, and she says, this must be your first to the Fey Wild, then.
Yeah.
Which surprises me a bit.
What gave it away?
She says, if your destination is this castle, and she points in its direction, you are going in the proper direction. I promise you, we'll arrive. So long as your adventure goes as fair as it must have so far.
Okay.
Any other questions for her? Well, if it's off onto the path again, I'm going to need another D20 survival roll.
Okay. Is anybody rolling?
16.
Okay. I'm going to need a D4 roll.
2.
All right. So this day, as you guys are starting your travel through the forest again, you go by a more mountainous region, still thick with forest. Near the path, after you pass a couple rivers, you see a stone slab sitting just off to the side. Immediately, you notice 7 women standing around it that appear to be crying. And on the slab itself, you can see a very well-armored dwarf male laying upon it, who has a crown on his head. None of the ladies seem to notice your presence on the path.
Okay, well, let's just keep going.
Is this the king we're looking for?
I think we were looking for somebody named, what was it?
Was it Alvinia?
Olivia?
Olivia is what I kept calling you instead of Alita.
But that, I thought that's because it was the princess or queen's name or something.
The Arcfae is Alvinia.
Okay.
And no, I would say that you guys would guess this is not Alvinia. So you guys are going to just keep walking then? Leave them to their whatever they're doing?
It's not who we're looking for, so...
They're crying. Is he dead?
He doesn't seem to be moving at all. Like, you don't see any breathing from the path or from the distance that you're at.
We're heroes, aren't we, guys?
All right.
Is it band formed to interrupt a funeral?
Oh, do we think it's a funeral? Maybe we should move on.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. I mean, there's a dead guy, a bunch of women crying over him.
Excuse me. What's going on here?
The women, one of the women, well, they all look surprised at you guys' sudden presence. And one of them looks to you and says, Prince Saltpick. And she points at the dwarf and she says, the evil king gave him an apple, and he's gone to sleep ever since.
I've read this story. Erevan, give him a kiss.
I think you'd be better suited for that, Morage.
No, man.
You're the charming one.
I'm not tall enough.
One of the women says, really? You would do that for us?
He would.
No, Morage would. Morage volunteering here.
Well, please, one of you must.
I go over and kiss him and then wipe my face like I'm grossed out.
Or all the women are like, no, as you get close to going to kiss him. They're like, no, no, no. We want the elf to do it.
Hey, man, like, you saved the prince's life here.
All right, fine. Erevan goes over and kisses the dwarf and then wipes his mouth.
His eyes open and he sits up real quick.
You did it.
Looks over at Erevan and he spits. It's like, what was that?
I don't know, man. Just saving your life.
And then all seven women and the dwarf fade from view.
I never read a story about that. I was just making it up.
Cool story, bro.
You guys hear a bunch of clapping from the forest trees.
You're a hero, Erevan. You did it.
All right, let's keep going.
Hold on, nothing to see here.
One last survival check, please, as you guys see that the castle is much, much closer.
All I got to say about what just happened is people that don't exist in places that aren't on a map doing things that never happened.
Okay, well, I got 18.
All right. You get to roll a d4 as well.
2.
Roll again. Unless you want to meet Prince Saltpick again.
Hi. Once wasn't enough.
4.
You guys are already in a mountainous region. And the mountains are getting very, very high now. You can see that the castles sit upon clouds next to this mountain. And there's a very long winding path that goes up this very steep hill that's in front of you. And there is a gate that's off to the side of it that seems to be the entrance to the castle's yard. As you guys start your climb on the mountain, you guys can feel the ground start rumbling. And you hear the sounds of machinery. Something rolling along the ground. And then to your guys' right, off to the east a bit, you see what was a hill start to give away and fall. Like the dirt starts to move and fall to the ground. And advancing from this unearthed hole in the ground is a machine with a dragon head on it. A large, more like a roller of death that you would see in Austin Powers, right? Does that make sense at all?
Oh, the labyrinth.
Yeah, maybe. Well, anyways, as I look for this picture, on top of this machine, you see a kobold that's shirtless and very strong, like very...
Swole?
Yeah, he's swole, right? And he's got two large sticks that he's holding onto that seem to be driving the machine forward, and a door on the side of this machine opens up, and another kobold, also swole, but this one with a mohawk, peeks out from there and points in your guys' direction.
Bro, sick ride.
Which way to Banedor?
What?
I'm Riptide Nightwound. I'm a mercenary. We're hired to go defend Banedor from adventurers. Which way is it?
That way. He points towards the carnival.
Okay. Roll a deception check. You get to roll it at advantage.
At advantage? Okay. Take the 15.
All right, thanks. And then they start moving again.
Who hired you?
I don't know. I don't remember his name. And he points to he looks to the driver's side. And then he yells back after talking to whoever that was that's standing at the door. He's like, Banedor! That's who hired us.
Isn't that a mummy?
Yeah.
Oh, that isn't... Okay. Now we got to fight swole kobolds that all they care about is gains?
Yes, basically, yeah.
Mordville is getting harder and harder to claim the longer that we hang out in Candyland. But at least I have to get past Raby Arc. They're not going to keep them busy for a while, right?
It could keep them busy forever.
That's the whole point. But yeah, let's continue. Unless somebody wants to go, you know, like jack that ride or something.
Would anyone even be able to jack that ride?
Oh, yeah. I can drive that thing. We just, you know, I mean, it looks pretty easy. There's just two sticks. I mean, the kobold can do it.
I put an image of it into the Dyson Info channel.
Pretty sweet.
Along with the swole kobolds driving it.
I'm gonna guess this thing has to be using like the same technology as that little ruckus mech thing we took down a while ago.
Yeah, so do you want that technology more? Because we can go get it.
I have a feeling we'll come up against them again, you know? Because we're going back to Bane Durham. Just saying, it's Mordville, in case you've forgotten. I've only mentioned it 5 times today.
All right, so up the mountain pass. You guys come to that gate, or are getting close to that gate, and you're coming around a bend. And when you guys have sight of this gate that should be right in front of the courthouse, you see nothing but the gate. A magical field begins to appear in the middle of the arch and slowly fills the void as a portal, and a large face starts to appear inside this gate. It starts saying a single word from what you would guess to be several languages. Most of them are unknown or obscure. Finally, it starts coming to tongues that you may be aware of. It's saying hello in giant, gnomish, common, draconic, infernal, and many more. And it just continues to cycle through these words, or the word that it's saying, that which appears to be hello in all of these languages.
Hello?
It says, I am a magical gate. I have been here ever since Ryla snuck in to steal Tyla's lunch during the construction of this building behind me. I have been forced to say that to every new arrival so to embarrass Ryla for eternity. That is supposed to be Ryla as a punishment, but really it's mine. I don't even know who Ryla is, and Tyla always smelled like onions. I hope none of you are stinky. It's fine, but if you walk through me, I can't close my nose. I'm just a security door. Anyone, you're supposed to tell me a password and I'm to let you through. For thousands of years and 200 passwords, I've had to do that, but I can talk now.
Tyla smells like onion.
That's correct.
All right.
The magical field within the gate starts to fade.
And behind the gate. I sniff myself to make sure I don't smell bad.
I do the same thing.
Yeah, the field within the gate starts to fade. The face disappears from your view. And the building comes into focus from behind this gate and through the thick clouds that are still around you. And the path beyond the gate and to the courthouse is now clear.
All right. I use prestidigitation to make sure we all are clean enough to not offend the security door's nose.
You guys go into the yard by the courthouse, and you're now on a stone tiled floor. As you look around the area by this building, you see that the ground appears to just end at the end of this yard, and there's just air and forest below. So this castle is just floating next to this mountain. Those vines are all over this building, reaching in through the stone walls of it. And there's still that large tower that's still intact. And then there's a second one that is being held up by vines off to the other side of this castle. And there's an ivory door that leads into the first room that is less than about 30 feet from your arrival at this security door. This door also has a lot of vines and actually has grapes growing on them.
I pick one of the grapes and eat it.
It's a pretty delicious grape. Nothing special seems to happen to you other than it's very, very sweet.
That was a good grape.
Well, do we knock?
Sure. I start knocking on the door.
Nothing seems to happen. And in fact, as you're knocking on the door, it's as though you're knocking on something solid all the way through, like you don't hear a hollowness behind it.
Is there a handle?
You don't see anything that appears to be a handle on this door.
Does it need to be, is it a push door? Can I push it?
Yeah.
A few gentle pushes are a little harder than that, and it doesn't seem to be budging.
Where's that thing that we won at the fair to get in here?
Oh, like the seal?
Uh-huh.
I don't know who got it. Somebody got it.
You
had it on your head.
I did?
Yeah, you had this piece of paper on your head.
Well, I took it off my head, and I handed it to her. This is still there. Like, Nobody told me it's been there this whole time.
Well, that's how every fae knew where you're going the whole time.
God, it's like you walk around with your fly open all day and no one tells you. Well, I hand it to her here.
Okay, so what do we sort of push it against the door?
Yeah, as soon as you your hand gets close to the door, you see a handle begin to form. Yeah, I mean, you could just open it if you wanted to at this point.
Oh, good thinking.
Okay, I guess I'll pull the door open.
As you open the door, the crown seal starts to burn.
Drop it. Ouch.
Like it's hot? Drop it like it's hot.
All right, yeah. And it just burns into nothingness. It doesn't leave behind any dust. And the door opens, and inside, you see a long hallway, whereas the outside of this building looks dreadful and rather dreary, I guess is another word that I should throw. The inside, however, looks very immaculate and pristine. You can see the reflections off from the marble floors. You see a long rows of statues of various creatures that are lining the walls next to the main walkway in this hallway. It looks about 20 statues on each side. The first one to the left looks like a satyr, and the one to the right looks like a dryad. Peering into the hallway a little more, you see that there are doors in this hallway that go off from it, and then there's one large door at the end of the hallway.
Do we head for the big door?
Why are we here again?
I think this person has the answers of how we get out of here. Maybe.
These statues look like they're going to shoot me, their eyes.
Would you like to go up and look at it closer, or?
I don't know if it's going to shoot me with its eyes.
I mean, it's hard to tell until you look into its eyes.
Shit. Hey, Erevan, will you go look in that statue's eyes?
How about you try it?
But you're so good at staring.
That's true. They are no match for your awkward stares.
Except I'm already good at staring, and I think you need to get better at it.
Oh.
So I'll go stare into the statue's eyes awkwardly.
All right, well, as soon as you look into its eyes, you see its eyes, and they don't move or anything. They just look like statue's eyes.
As soon as you look at its eyes, you see its eyes.
Yeah.
It has eyes, everybody.
It's fairly accurate.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty good carving. Like, you know, props to the artist. Can I do like a check on it? See if it's just a statue? Like, is there any kind of things that would make it come alive and beat us up?
Okay. You just walked through a security door that talked to you. So I don't know what frame of reference you would determine when or if it's going to come alive.
I think it's fine. Let's go down this hallway.
All right. As you jump down from the statue, and a door on the hallway opens up, and from where you're standing, you can see that there's a piano in there, a harpsichord, and several other instruments that seem to be set up, but nothing happens after that opens.
You guys want to rock out?
Jam session.
I mean, I can try to play something.
All right, do you?
If everyone else does.
Diamond's putting a band together, you guys.
Okay, we'll play the one song I know in the key of G.
Does everybody go in there and do this? Because I'll need performance checks from everyone that goes in.
Okay.
I go in with Morid.
All right, as you guys walk in, you see that this is actually a balcony, and it's overlooking a banquet hall. You see that there's a bunch of figures down there in the hallway, or in the banquet hall, that seem to be frozen in time. Some of them look like they're in the middle of eating or drinking something. Some of them are standing around talking. And let's get those performance checks.
Ooh.
20.
15.
Ooh, I got a 19.
19.
I'm killing all the performance checks today.
Yeah.
Well, I got a 5.
You got a 5?
Yeah.
All right. What did Erevan get, or are you just standing out in the hallway watching them staring awkwardly?
He's just...
I'm just going to stare awkwardly.
Like, come on, man.
All right. All right. So we're pretty much at time, but I'll say that as Alita starts playing and she hits several wrong notes to Morid's ballad, the statue near you explodes, Erevan.
That's awkward.
You need to roll a dexterity check.
19.
Okay. All right. You take 12 damage from the various stones that are exploding. And, well, you manage to dodge it, but you still get hit by enough stuff that it's pretty bad.
12 points of damage, because you wouldn't play.
Yeah, you So I've covered up my poor notes there.
However, the other statues do start to move, Erevan. And you see them start spinning and dancing along the hallway here. And you hear a loud sound emanate from the door at the end of the hallway. And you can see that the doorway is opening. So I think we can stop there, if that's okay with everybody.
Okay.
Was that more a question generally, or were you just role-playing the Feywild about why are we here?
Well, in general, like it feels like we've been here for a long time, so I'm kind of losing. Like, we originally came here to cure a disease, right? Then we went back in time. Then we went to a carnival, and then Raby tested us, but didn't remember us.
She did remember you.
And we met a Cyclops, and we gave the Cyclops bacon.
It seems like maybe we had to go back in time in order to cure the disease.
Okay.
Maybe we'll find our solution here.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep it straight. But to your point, role-playing the Feywild, right? Because you kind of get lost in the Feywild, if I remember right, right?
Yeah, the longer you're here, the less likely you are to leave.
Yeah.
Unless so you have extremely good wits about you or some spirit is protecting you.
So Mord's a pretty smart dude, so he's just kind of like, hey, what are we doing? Hey, why are we here?
So to answer it, I'm not going to. All right, yeah, that's enough for tonight, I think. Yeah,
I'm just role-playing it mostly. I remember we're trying to clear a disease.
Just keep it in perspective, right?
Well, I hope everyone had fun.
It's a good time.
Hope, who was it? I was going to have Mord try and kiss Prince Salt Pick.
Well, hey, Ninja, thank you so much for taking that bullet for me.
I can hear laughing in the other room.
I appreciate it. I'm thankful. Also, I checked the statues, and I said they were fine, and we played some music, and then they exploded on you. It's not a good way to pay you back, but, you know.
Diamond got the party the night away with a water nymph.
Yeah, that was cool.